This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and we're going to be talking about Rioja today. We're from 3050. 3050 is a leading WST Level 3 provider. If you're studying WST Level 3 anywhere in the world, we've got the materials to help you pass. With me today is Abby. How are you, Abby?
Good, thank you, Chris.
Abby is trained as a Rioja educator. She's done the Rioja training course.
I went out to Rioja and spent a week there, visited, I don't even know, about 30 different wineries and tasted about 500 wines.
We're going to be talking about Spain and Rioja in particular, but let's start off with Spain. And a lot of people think of Spain as just this really dry, arid place, but it's actually got almost three different climate zones, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got maritime climates, you've got continental climates. Yeah, we've got Mediterranean climates. Yeah.
And with Rioja, you've got two of those climates, haven't you?
Yes.
So before we get into that, let's find out where Rioja is.
So Rioja is in the northwest of Spain as you come down from France. And importantly, it really falls into three different areas within Spain. A little bit falls into the Basque region, a little bit falls into Navarra, and then you've got La Rioja itself. And really importantly, those areas are divided into three. You've got Rioja Alta, Rioja Alavesa, and Rioja Oriental. And really that Rioja Oriental is the towards the eastern side of the region, that heading towards the Mediterranean. And the Rioja Alta and Rioja Alavesa are to the west.
You've got the Ebro River, and that comes down, and it flows down through from the higher areas.
From the northwest, to the southeast of the region, yes.
And so it goes from the higher Alta and Avisa through to Rioja Oriental and then flows out into the Mediterranean. It almost looks like Rioja Oriental was like a big old floodplain at some point, because it is quite flat.
As I say, Rioja Oriental is perhaps not an area that is as famous as the Alta or Alavesa for high quality wine production, but there are some incredible pockets of high quality wine production from there.
And it's also the continental part, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is warmer, it's drier. Pyrenees is a key here. In the other areas, in the Rioja Alavesa, which is in the north, it's protected from the Bay of Biscay by the Sierra de Cantabria, which is the mountain range. It's quite an important buffer zone from that wet weather, that maritime weather. But a little bit does come through, but nothing like as much as it would do if you didn't have that. And to the south, you've got the Rioja Alta, and that's protected by the Meseta, which is very famously the sort of a dry, arid, high elevation plain.
Okay, so just to recap, Alta Alvisa gives you altitude and Atlantic influence. And both of those things, Atlantic influence is cooling, altitude is cooling. So Alta and Avisa are notably cooler.
Yes, as you say, to the north you've got the Rioja Alavesa, relatively small production volume-wise. The biggest production, I believe, is in the Alta, and that is where most of the production comes, significantly more, even though you look at Oriental and it looks physically a lot bigger.
Let's talk a little bit about grape varieties, because there's four key grape varieties in Rioja, and different grape varieties do better in those different sub-regions.
We talk about the red grape varieties. Tempranillo is king here. Really, in Rioja, that's most of the wine produced there is using Tempranillo. It's a red varietal. It has lots of red characteristics, red berry, red plum, other characteristics with age.
One of the key things about Tempranillo is it does struggle a little bit holding on to its acidity.
So you want to really try and motivate the vine to hold on to that acidity, but it does need ripening, and that's the problem. So it needs lots of sun, to ripen. But equally, as those sugars rise within the grape, so does the acidity. So finding that balance, and that is where diurnal ranges, the day to night temperatures, really come into play. So you want enough sunlight, enough heat during the day to ripen the Tempranillo, but then at night you want the temperatures to drop so that the grape can hold on to the acidity. Next variety is Garnacha, a red variety. It's a grape variety that is known for its high alcohols, its red fruits, its can it be a bit flabby, can't it?
Yeah,
if it's not properly looked after. But it's a really key variety within the region. It adds a beautiful red berry, red fruitiness to a blend. And that is the bulk of the Garnacha production is in the Rioja Oriental.
And the reason it's there is because Garnacha is a grape variety. It's quite a large, thin-skinned grape variety. Thin skins mean it's quite susceptible to molds and mildews. So in the drier Rioja Oriental, you won't have the same disease pressure. Plus, it's warmer. You need more heat to ripen Garnacha. So it's more suited to Rioja Oriental than maybe the Alta and Avisa.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you've got Graciano, which...
Now, my favourite.
Your favourite. Yeah, you love Graciano.
100% Graciano Rioja is very rare, but it tastes brilliantly.
Yes, I've had one recently. I did it for a tasting. I took 100% Graciano. It was a 2014 and had very, very little tertiary characteristics. That wine was literally preserved to the hilt with the thick... It's a thick skin.
High acidity, high tannins, and black fruit flavours. The thing about Graciano is it struggles to ripen as well, a bit like Grenache. So it's, again, suited to the Rioja Oriental. And... for me, personally, I think it's probably the premium grape in Rioja, although anybody at Alta and Avisa will probably say no, it won't, because they can't grow it as well.
I think you're right. It's really important. It does come in and out of fashion a little bit within the blends, but Graciano is definitely a key component, and it helps to allow the, it certainly in a blend within Rioja, allow it to age significantly better than without it.
You get tannins from... Tempranillo, but you don't get tannins from Garnacha, so it does give that tannins. And both Tempranillo struggles with the acidity, and Garnacha definitely struggles with the acidity. So you're getting a great variety with lots of acidity, so it's helping balance out the wine as well. So at the very least, it gives a bit of balance. But then the other great variety, Monthuelo, that again gives acidity and tannins. Not a lot of fruit though, because it is a little bit of a.
It's a small grape variety, a Monthuelo. Tiny. It's quite small. Some people might remember Monthuelo in France is known as Carignan, and Carignan was the grape variety that was responsible for the wine
French wine lake
which for overproduction. I think Monthuelo and Carignan gets a bad rap. I think if controlled properly through good husbandry and good viticultural techniques, Monthuelo is a variety that can really help in the blend for those age-worthy Riocas.
It can produce huge volumes. I mean, you think about places like Bordeaux, where they might be doing 30, 40 hectolitres per hectare. New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc is considered a monster at 70 to 80 hectolitres per hectare and still producing good quality wines. Monthuelo can crop in at 200 hectolitres per hectare. It can really, really, if you want volume, Monthuelo's it. And it also gives it acidity and tannins, which you don't get from Garnacha. So It's a relatively cheap, easy grape to grow, and it also gives those structural elements, but not much flavour.
But as you say, good for those age-worthy Riocas.
Yeah, and you need that structure for them as well. Lovely. I think that's a good overview.
Yeah, it's a good overview of the red. I mean, obviously, there are other red varietals. You do get some international varietals creeping in, but these are not the key ones for this area.
Most people think of Rioja as a red wine, but they do produce these oxidative, nutty styles of Rioja. So we're going to be finding out about that.
So the key grape variety in Rioja is Viura. Some people might know that as Macabeo, which is the variety that it's known as for cava production, but it is the same variety. So Viura here still is king.
When I've had white Rioja, it's always come across as quite an oxidative, oaky style. You know, it's got that golden colour.
Now, those white Riojas are quite famous. They are what people quite often think about when they think about white Rioja. But those styles of wine are actually no longer so much in favour. They've become a bit more niche. Those are wines which have had extended periods of aging, extended periods of some oxidation, and as I say, Viura remains the dominant varietal. In terms of getting more interest in drinking and trying these wines, there has been a more of a push towards these minimal contact, stainless steel, much fresher, fruitier styles of Viura. And these wines are very popular, easy on the wallet. And these are, I would say, are more popular styles that you'll be seeing. The third style is also, you do get some barrel fermented white Riocas. I could talk about white Riocas all day because it's one of my little passion projects. But safe to say, the traditional oxidized styles are less in favor now, and that it's more about those stainless steel, minimal intervention, minimum oxygen ingress wines.
Would you call them Hovens?
Yes, I suppose those, you're talking about the stainless steel types. Yeah, you would call them a Hovens or Generico or generic whites. Yeah.
Yeah. Just on that, you don't actually hardly ever see the word Hoven or Joven or Joven, depending on your pronunciation, on the label, because it's a bit like saying, oh, I'm a cheap entry level Rioja. So they don't say it. They just say Rioja on the label. And obviously Grand Reservas will have to be oxidative. Because they spend so much time in oak. But what about the Crianthas and the Reservas? Because you do get Hoven, Criantha, Reserva, Grand Reserva in the whites.
You do. You get Hoven, which has had no oak aging whatsoever. Then you have Criantha. That has had some oak. It's significantly less than its red sisters and brothers. A little bit of oak aging, but also minimum time in bottle. Reserva, the same, and Grand Reserva.
You said that the Hovens are more popular, but barrel fermentation, do any of those levels need barrel fermentation, or is it all about the post-fermentation maturation?
My understanding is not that the barrel fermentation styles of whites that you're seeing coming out of Rioja are very much smaller producer led, or not some of the bigger producers. And it's becoming more of a sort of a niche thing. What I can tell you is the demand for white wines coming out of Rioja is increasing. Producers are struggling to find the vineyards. There was a big pull, so there's a lot of white varieties which were pulled up. But certainly playing around with either barrel fermentation or even glass fermentation is something that some of the smaller producers are doing in an effort to kind of become cross the difference between those nutty oxidized styles and those very, very super lean, clean stainless steel varietals.
And lastly, obviously you've got three sub-regions, Alta, Alvisa, and Rioja Oriental. Alta and Alvisa hold on to their acidity. Normally with white wines, I think of white wines needing acidity. Is Viura popular in any particular region?
I would say that Viura is the white grape variety that dominates most regions. There are other varietals, which Maturana Blanca, Garnacha Blanca, which is the mutation of Garnacha. But still, Viura seems to be the most dominant grape variety that's grown across the board.
Excellent. All right, then. Cheers.
Cheers.